Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
It's great to be in church this morning. So who ate too much? Who ate too much at Christmas? Who ate too much? Okay. Who's still eating? Who's regurgitating? No, let's not. So who'll still be eating Christmas lunch next week? How many? Yeah, look, lots. You didn't eat that much then. Who had an ananap on Sunday? Come on, you men. How many men had an ananap? I need to. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, that's right. I had one. I know. Who went shopping yesterday? Did anyone go to shopping? Right, good. Did anyone get a bargain? How many people got a bargain? So the percentages are getting down. Boxing Day isn't what it used to be. They have sales every day of the year. So no one got a bargain. That's all right. So today, I'll get to my subject in a minute, but the first message of the year was by who? Does anyone know who spoke the first message of the year? Anyone know? Who was it? Anyone know? Andy? Do you remember what you spoke about? Well done. It was called Fresh. And it was about to be fresh for God, we need to give Him our burdens and take time in His presence. That was the first message of the year. And through the year, we've had many messages on growth and, you know, side notes to that on, like, fruitfulness. And then our last series has been He Shall Reign. And you know, the last message that Graham spoke about was He Does Reigns, and apparently it was Chris's fault that slide was incorrect. Gee, I hope my slides are right today, but it's okay because my wife did my slides last night. So if they are wrong, everyone, if they are wrong, then Claudia's sitting there in front. Just talk to her afterwards. And of course. What day was it that we had? Friday. It was Friday, wasn't it? I'm confused about. Kim gave a beautiful message on Emmanuel, God with us. So let's pray today before I share a message. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. I again want to thank you for your faithfulness, that you are with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, as we come around the time around your word today, Father, I pray that you would speak powerfully into our midst, and we just give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time of the year, pretty much I don't know how many, but now it's been a few years that I do a message about stock take. And it's not a New Year's resolution message. It is about stock take. A few weeks ago, I've been reading, trying to read this year a chapter a day, and a few weeks ago I finished with the New Testament. I've gone back and started with the Old, and so that was quite a few weeks ago now. And I was reading out of Genesis 24, and it was around the story of Abraham and Isaac. And it was when Isaac had grown up a little bit, and Abraham sent his chief servant to go and find a wife for Isaac. And I was reading this story, and I don't want to go into the details of the story, but basically the chief servant turned up on the doorstep of the family of Rebecca and said, "Can I take you back to be the wife of Isaac?" And I was reading through the story, and some of the details, like I said, I won't go into. But at the end of it, I thought that would just never happen today. It would rarely happen today. Like you might find a couple of cultures might have it in, but it would never happen today. And so it really made me think on what are the things that we have culturally just gone into And what are the things that we have just walked away from that are God's principles and God's ways, and we've just taken on the way culture should be? And so the message today is called cultural awareness. It's very important at this time. How much, how often do we, do I, do you default to the culture we live in for parts or all of our lives rather than to the to God and to His ways? How much do we just get swept along with what's going on around us? Now, I don't know whether any of you remember, I remember as kids, or you know, probably as adults, if you've ever been in a pool and there's people in the pool and they start to walk around the outside of the pool, and it creates a bit of power and pressure, and you start to get swept along on the outside of it. And I know I've done it with friends before, and everyone's created this whirlpool, and everyone's getting rushed around, and then someone comes in and starts to go the other way, and they get abused for going the other way and for destroying the whirlpool. Now, it was a lot of fun, but it's often what happens today. Do our lives revolve around Christ, or do our lives revolve around culture? John 12, 42 and 43, this is with Jesus and the Pharisees. It said, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed." Listen to this. Many believed in him. They believed in Jesus. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." And this particular line, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And then we see Jesus a couple of verses later, 12:49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." And if you want me to add a little bit, how I should live. Jesus' life revolved around what the Father asked him to do. And through him, the world changed. At that time, there was Jewish culture, there was Roman culture, and probably Samaritan culture. Well, there was Samaritan culture. But he didn't default to any of those. And he was not a people pleaser. He was a God pleaser. He was God, so he was a God pleaser. See, the world changed and has changed over the years, but has changed with Jesus, not by a sling, not by a knife, not a gun, not a minority group, not a Facebook post, not a political group, not a bill put through Parliament, not through an ad. There was no backroom party deals. Jesus had no secretary or media advisor, and he certainly didn't have an "I Stand With Jesus" campaign. He challenged the culture on how to treat women. He challenged the culture on children, on how we deal with money, on relationships. He challenged the culture on the oppressed, the diseased, and the outcasts. And he did it with love, through healing, deliverance, compassion, words of life, with truth and self-sacrifice, all guided by what the Father asked him to do. See, more than ever, my faith, your faith, is being challenged and questioned. And we need to decide, I need to decide, you need to decide, Who and what are you going to default to? Are you going to follow the culture? Or are you going to follow God and His ways? See, there's a city culture. There's a nation culture. There can be a work culture. There can be a university culture. There could even be a family culture. But what are you going to default to? A few years ago, one of our family members took a trip to Germany, because I have German relatives, and my wife is German. Well, she's German, South African, and Australian. She's very confused, but that's okay. But they took a trip. They took a trip to Germany, and one night, this relative of ours, female, went out with a German friend of theirs, and so they went out just one night, and a young man came up to the German girl and said, "Is there any chance I can have your phone number? Could we go out somewhere together?" And she just looked at him and said, "No, that is not happening because I don't like you." And so anyway, the relative from Australia was quite shocked and said, "That's a bit harsh, wasn't it?" And she said, "No, that's just the way we do things." And she said, "What would you do?" And he said, "Well, in Australia, we'd write the phone number down and we'd change a couple of digits in the number so we save face." So what is the right way? Well, there's probably a bit of shift on both of those things. You probably don't need to be as harsh as "I don't like you." But the truth part was important. He knew where he stood. The poor guy in Australia had no idea what was going on. He was trying to ring millions of numbers and, "Oh, which number have I got wrong?" But what would God say is the right way to handle that situation? So there was German culture, there was Australian culture, and then there's God's culture. Now today I've got some scriptures on the screen and I think they're going to really speak for themselves very loudly. And I need people here, I need you people and online to listen to this very carefully, because it is very pertinent for the time in which we live. So I'm going to allow the scriptures, and some of them I'm going to read twice. But Romans 12:2 from the Amplified Version says this: "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively," there's a word progressive, it's in the Bible, "but progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you." No wonder there's so many people out there who've got no idea what the plan is in life, because they're conformed to the pattern of this world. Look at today's culture. And these kind of statements may kind of apply to where things are at. "It's okay to do what you want as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. But it does. Live by your feelings, not by truth, not by fact. Live for today and don't think about the consequences. Short-term pain for long-term gain is no longer adequate in our society. It is more short-term gain, which brings long-term pain." And there are plenty of loud voices out there making themselves heard with their agendas, and some of them sound good on the surface, And there is some good in it, but it is what's underneath. What is hidden? What does it lead to? What is the whole truth? A bit like what Graham spoke about with the bill just before. Not what's on the surface, but what's the whole truth. Colossians 2:8. And again, a lot of these are from the Amplified Version, but I want you to read them and take them in. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Pseudo-intellectual babble, according to the tradition and musings of mere men, following the elementary principles of this world rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ. So what are you following? Let me read that again. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. They might sound good, pseudo-intellectual babble, according to the tradition and musings of mere men, following the elementary principles of this world rather than following the truth and the teachings of Christ. So what are you following? In a minute, I want to give me a list of aspects of life for an opportunity to do a stock take on whether you are defaulting to the tradition and musings of mere men, following the elementary principles of this world, or whether with your life this is not just about me preaching to you, this is about me as well, that you are following the truth and the teachings of Christ. But first I want to give you three things about stock take. So if you can have a look at the screens. Now, I've done quite a few stock takes in my time, and I've probably talked about it before about Bunnings. Firstly, things will get out of control in time if you don't count it. So you need to count it. You've got to count it. And some of those things that you've got to count aren't easy to count. They're not fun to count. I remember in Bunnings, you get asked to do certain aisles and places, and there's some you just don't want to do. You don't want to do it. You don't want to count a box of 10 millimetre screws when the box is this big. You don't want to count them. There's certain things you don't want to count. And you look at them and you go, these are too hard to count. It's going to be too much work to count them, but you need to count them. Secondly, if you don't want to count it, get someone else to help you count it. I dare you to get someone with the right heart to help you count where things are at in your life. If you don't want to count it, get someone else to help you count it. And the third thing is you need to count it regularly. You know what? We can talk about this today. We can talk about doing a stock take on our lives and on culture and all that sort of stuff. But you need to keep coming back to counting it. And part of that is knowing and understanding what the level is that you've got to count at. You need to know the Word of God. And I want to hope that there's people in today and you've been neglecting your understanding of the Word of God because you've just been neglecting it. But you're not going to be able to count it regularly if you don't know what's in it. And it's not always easy. And time's precious, and I understand that. But you need to count it regularly. You need to line your life up and how you're living with the Word of God. Of course, the Holy Spirit will help you with that. There's no issue there, but you need to do it regularly. And why do we count? We count because at times there's breakage. Things get broken. You get put sideways in your life. Things get stolen. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a liar and a deceiver, and he will deceive you into thinking that something's okay when it's not. You might have lost something or missed something along the way. But you're the only one that can count it or get someone else to. Bible says we've got to count the cost. So where are you at today? Are you prepared to count it? Are you prepared to do a stock take? Or are you just going to get stuck in the whirlpool, round and round, just step in and just get carried around by what culture says? So I've got a few little things here. Some of them I've got scriptures for, some haven't. And the first thing I have is, where do you stand on rest? Are you doing things according to what God would ask you to do in what he says about rest? You know, this year for me, I've probably have lived in a way which in some instances of rest, I wish I'd rested a bit more. And he's very clear, and I can't give you all the scriptures, but it's important that you search them out and find out what God says about rest. He says important things about rest. And he says it for our benefit. He says all this stuff for our benefit so we can have a great life. So what does he say about rest? You find out. What does he say about money? Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." You know, Matt Daly gave a great message a while back, and I love what he said in it about money. And he said, "You can own your money, or it can own you." I'll never forget it. So, once again, does your life revolve around money? These are questions that we all need to answer. Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its gain. This too is vanity." And I love it in brackets in the Amplified. It is emptiness. Where do you sit on relationships and friendships? Proverbs 13:20 says this, "He who walks as a companion with wise men will be wise. But the companions of conceited, dull-witted fools are fools themselves and will experience harm." You need to count the cost on who you are spending your life with. Who are the friends that you have got closest to you? Are they leading you in the right direction? 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, and this is about a lot of things. A lot of people use it as a marriage scripture, but it's about business, it's about everything. "Do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers." Doesn't mean you can't be a friend with them. It says, "Do not make mismatched alliances with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership can righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" You've got to count the cost. You've got to count. Okay. Marriage and sex. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all. That is regarded as something of great value. And the marriage bed undefiled by immorality, or by any sexual sin." I just want to stop there. Just through some of the counselling that we do, I'm going to be really straight with you here. I cannot believe how many Christians there are that think sex before marriage is okay and it's not going to hurt them and affect them going forward. It's infiltrated the church. It's not okay. Now, God's healing is there for it, but it's not okay. So if you're sitting there this morning and you think it might be okay, it's not. And God doesn't say it's okay, and he doesn't say that the outworkings of it are healthy. Don't get swept along by the culture. Now, this is for husbands and wives. Love this scripture. Ephesians 5:33. However, this is for the men. Each man among you, without exception, this is what the word says, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behaviour, here we go, with behaviour worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for not him but for her, and with an attitude of loving kindness. Husbands, count it. It's not about you. You're prepared to count it. Are we having fun this morning, people? It's great. And the wife, it's your turn, wives, must see to it. It says it must see to it that she respects, and I know some of you will struggle with this, and delights in her husband. My wife's laughing down there. You need to delight in me, darling. That she notices him and prefers him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honouring him, and holding him dear. So I love the Amplified Version. Gives you a little bit more. I don't think that I need to give a commentary on that. I think it's so clear. And I think that there is so much in the Word of God that is just so clear, that gets messed up by those philosophies that say, oh, that's not for today. Well, look at the outworking of today. Eat and drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So, you know, there's much around eating and drinking and gluttony, and, you know, we can talk about alcohol and that sort of stuff. Well, the Bible doesn't talk much about alcohol, yeah, but it does say don't cause your brother to stumble. So there's plenty in there. You search it out, see what the Word of God says. About your thinking, Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's Word. Here we go. Let's go back there. Whatever, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's Word. Some things out there seem like they're right. Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So you need to line it up. Whatever is right and confirmed by God's Word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, we destroy, I don't think that one's up there, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And it says this, and take not one thought, not a couple of thoughts, not a few thoughts. It says, take every thought captive and make obedient to Christ. Every thought. Don't let them get away. If you find your mind going somewhere, make it obedient to Christ. I had another heading here, what are you listening to? Andy did a great message on what you're listening to earlier this year. I haven't got a scripture on it. I don't want to go into everything. What are you putting in your mind? What are you putting through your eye gate? What are you listening to? You need to count it. God's power to intervene. How do you see that? Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with people, as far as it depends on them, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things, not some things, not a few things, but all things are possible with God. If you've got a situation, start believing that God can intervene, because all things are possible with God. Well, it's not happening now, but God didn't say now. God said in his time, and all things are possible. Believe what the word says. Count it. About your work, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. And I think it's really important that he says, and not for men, because there's probably some bosses out there that are pretty ordinary. But where God's put you, do it for God and not for men. Let him take care of the stuff, the rubbish. Let God take care of it. Be honourable with God, with your time. Ephesians 5:15-16. Therefore see it that you walk carefully, living life with honour, purpose and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. There's a bit of that going on. Not as the unwise, but as the wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. Make the most of your time. Don't waste it, because the days are filled with evil. Man, that's so appropriate for today. You know what? There are many other things that I could go into. These are just some. And if you know something's got out of whack in your life, or you've lost count, something's been stolen, broken, come to God with it. There's things in the Bible about generosity, about helping the poor and the needy, about the power of the tongue, about living as an example. Count it. You can't count it if you don't read it and get it in here, from here to here. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let me just go back to these three things about Stocktake. If the worship team could come up now, that'd be great. Three things about Stocktake. After going through all the things that I spoke about, and you know that God's prompting you on things in your life, number one, you need to count it. Number two, if you don't want to count it, get some accountability. Accountability. Get someone else to help you count it. And number three, I encourage you, don't just let life go along. Count it regularly. And remember this, light always casts out darkness. Always. Don't shrink back. Make a stand. God with us. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Follow his ways, not the culture, if it is not God's way. I just want you to have a look and take this screen in as the band start to play. I just want you to have a look at this picture. It was a post that I saw the other day and I loved it. I just want you to take it in for a minute. Just take it in. An audience of one. Just because something is accepted by the standards of this world doesn't mean that it's right. Follow the right path, even if you walk alone. Whether it be national culture, family culture, work culture, school culture. I just want to finish with Colossians 2:8. Then I'm going to, and if everyone can stand right now, this would be great. I need, church, I need you to understand this is not about guilt and condemnation. It's not what this is about. Sometimes we need to realign where our values are. And I don't care whether you're two, you need some help with your parent, from your parents with that one, whether you're 12, whether you're 18, whether you're 30 or 50 or 70 or 90, it doesn't matter how old you are, it's important that we align our values and we don't conform to the pattern of this world. Find out what truth is, what real truth is. Don't just get sucked in because it might be nice on the surface. Colossians 2:8. If you're going to write any scripture around today and carry it with you and you want it to be for the future, I want you to carry this one. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, pseudo-intellectual babble, according to the tradition and musings of mere men, following the elementary principles of this world rather than following the truth and the teachings of Christ. In a minute, we're going to sing, we're going to raise a hallelujah. And I've asked these guys to sing it as a war song. Because we're in a battle. And we've already won the victory. But we've got to remember that and remember which side we're on and fight on that side. We need to be culturally aware. Don't get sucked in. And so, if you're sitting there or standing there and you're feeling guilty, that's not from God. Okay? Guilt and shame is from the enemy. God just wants you to realign with him and his values. So I'm going to pray and we're going to sing this as a war song, as a war cry. And I want you to make a decision today to follow through on what God's challenged you on. Realign, get straightened up, be culturally aware, and as this scripture says at the end, follow the teachings of Christ. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help each and every person here, including me, to be culturally aware and to follow your ways. Let us not get just sucked into the whirlpool, but be determined to go your way. And Father, we just give you thanks and praise for your word and its power, its life-changing power. And as it says in Romans 12:2, then we will know what God's perfect will is for our lives. And we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.